So I'm going to start off with a visual aid this morning, if that's all right for everybody. I have a picture I want you to see. All right, isn't that beautiful? What if I told you that that was my son that did that? That would be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? What if I told you that it was actually his father that did that? Would that be as equally as impressive? So if you, more impressive, thank you, I appreciate that. So there's this growing trend today about called adult coloring books. And if you go and you look those up online, if you go to Amazon.com, you'll find a whole section for sale of adult coloring books. It just so happens that my wife bought me one of these books not too long ago. She found me a couple years ago when Corbin started to get to the point of he was coloring, that we would sit down at the table for him to color, and then he would end up getting distracted, and I would still be there 30 minutes later coloring whatever it was that he was doing. Those of you who remember coloring as a child, and maybe some of you who still do it as adults or did it when your kids were little, you know that there's something stress-relieving about that, right? That you can just get lost in this mindless activity, so to speak, and you can create this beautiful work of art. And if you get to see it in person, it's a whole lot more beautiful than it is up there. So anyway, if you're interested in that. But this is what I like to call I don't know if you even call it a talent, but let's pretend for a second like it is. This is what I like to call a useless talent. Something that might, you know, make me feel better, but for the good of society, doesn't really have much of an impact. Years ago, when Cheryl was a teacher at another school in a different part of the state, she had a student that had this knack for Super Bowl trivia. She could name a year or name one of the Super Bowl numbers, and the kid could remember who played in it, what the score was, who the MVP was, all those sorts of things. It was really incredible. But now, again, as far as helping society, now that's not very useful. That's another useless talent or useless ability. And we all have some of those, whether it's you can remember trying to balance a spoon on your nose, or if you remember the game, I played this game as a kid, or something on your elbow and you try to catch it real quick. You know, those are skills that we pride ourselves on, but when it comes to the real world, they don't really seem to have much of an impact. Now, that could happen if that kid ended up growing up to be a commentator at NFL Network, that knowledge all of a sudden might become useful and might become something he could realize. If one day Corbin is the next Van Gogh, he will credit his father, right, for the coloring ability that he gave him. But chances are that those talents, talents loosely spoken, are useless and not have any real impact in society. In reality, though, any kind of gift or any kind of ability or talent that we have can be useless if we aren't using it for the correct reasons, if we aren't using it for the divine purpose that God gifted us with. Last week, we began to talk about spiritual gifts. We began to discuss what that looked like, what spiritual gifts are, how we might use them. And unless where we're going to camp out this morning, unless we leverage the gifts that God has given us for God's purposes, those gifts become useless. Those gifts become pointless. Again, last week we talked about the fact that we are all uniquely and extraordinarily gifted through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ with certain gifts that edify the church and those around us. God created you just the way you are as a part of His plan to redeem the world. This week we're going to look at that one part of that plan, the major part of that plan to redeem the world, and we're going to see that you are gifted to be a disciple maker. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. That's your main gift. That's your primary gift in this world. And how do we know that to be the case? Because when Jesus was about to ascend from this planet and go to be with his Father and preparing a place for us until he comes again to judge the living and the dead at the end of times, until that happens, before Jesus left, one of the last things that he said, at least according to the Gospel of Matthew, gave us this main goal, this main purpose of every Christian that's ever lived since, including you and me today. And that's found in the book of Matthew, a scripture that many of you know well. We call it the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Again, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the common goal, the common calling that we all share. No matter what God has gifted you with, no matter what gift God has given to you to be used for his purposes, to be used for part of his plan to redeem the world, this is your central goal, to fulfill the Great Commission. And it's not specific to anyone in particular, it's general for all of us. The Great Commission is not a specific calling for only a select few, it is the primary mission of every Jesus follower on the planet. This is not where Jesus said, okay, you know, my inner circle here, Peter, James, and John, you know, this is just for you guys. Or he said that just the 12, or just the 11 at this point, I guess, that this is just for you guys. No, it was everybody that was there that day that was gathered to watch him ascend to the Father. He said to all of them, this is your goal. The Holy Spirit's going to come, he's going to bring power, and when he does, this is to be your objective, to make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This is our goal. If you're looking through your life and you're wondering, what do I do with my life? What's my purpose? This is the place where every Christian can turn and say, okay, here in some way, I understand, at least generally speaking, my purpose, my goal, my plan, what God has for me, and this is it, to make disciples of all nations. Think of the way that our country worked in the last world war. Those of you who can remember back that far, or those of you who remember reading it in history books, everyone was pushed to use their talents for a common goal of building a strong, united front against a very real and a very powerful and a very evil enemy. Yes? No matter what you could do, no matter what your talent was, whether it was at home, it was in the workforce, or it was overseas on the front lines, no matter what your ability was, no matter what talent you had been given or gift you had been given by God, you were asked by your country to give everything you had with what you had towards that common goal. If you were in a manufacturing plant, you were asked to manufacture war goods. If you were in the financial world, you were asked to do war bonds. You were asked to raise money for the cause. If you were at home, you were asked to produce good, productive members of society that would be ready to go into this world and to fight or to raise money or to be a part of the industrial machine that helped push our war engine in that time. You were asked to be a part of that. And everything that we had, we pushed in that direction. We pushed towards that common goal. Everything from saving gas to manufacturing goods to building families, we saw it through the lens of building our country to be the strongest country in the world because we knew there was a very urgent task ahead of us that we must prepare ourselves for. The task that we have been called to through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, through this very scripture, is no less urgent. I would argue that it's much more urgent than the task that came upon us in the 1940s and 1930s during World War II. I would argue that this is even bigger. We're not talking about the existence of democracy. We're talking about the salvation of the entire world. This is the most important thing to which any of us can apply our lives to, and we ought to have that same sense of all of us using every single gift, talent, skill, ability, everything that we have at our disposal to make disciples. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. And your gifts are the means to an end, not the end in themselves. I think a lot of times when we talk about spiritual gifts, we can get so caught up in the gifts themselves that we miss their purpose, we miss their point. We can become so focused on our gifts that we forget their main purpose, their end goal. We get so caught up in the means that we forget about the end. Think about it for just a second, if you will. I can say that I'm a gifted preacher, right? Those of you who are asleep, you might disagree, right? But I can say that I'm a gifted preacher, that God has called me into this vocation, that God has given me this particular gift. But if I do it for a selfish reason, which can happen from time to time, preachers can be a little prideful if you don't know that already, pat myself on the back or do it because I want to impress you or I want to hear good words about what a good job I did after the sermon or I want to, even from not necessarily a selfish perspective, but let's just say that I wanted to stand up here every day and or every Sunday and move you, say something that was eloquent, say something that was impressive, say something that you could talk about over the lunch table. None of that is good, right? None of that is worthwhile. None of that brings glory to God. All that brings glory to is either these words, myself, our church, your ability to discern and apply them, whatever that might be. If it's not making you into a better disciple of Jesus Christ, then this hour is a waste of time, right? My goal is to make disciples. That means people who don't know Jesus, I want them to come to know Jesus. That means those of you who do know Jesus, I want you to know him better at the end of these 30 minutes that we have together than you did at the beginning. I want you to be drawn more fully in to the person of Jesus Christ so that you might be drawn more fully in to his calling. Whether it's I want to make people think, I want to move people, if I'm not doing it to make disciples, then I'm missing the point. My goal is to make disciples. We ought to do that with every gift that we have, and we can miss that with any gift. If you're a musician, you might, you know, sometimes get so caught up in the music and making it sound good, and that sometimes we miss the point, that it's to bring glory to God. If you're an administrator, you can get so caught up in the business of the church, whether it's a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or something, you can get so caught up in going through the motions and making sure that everything runs smoothly that you can forget that the purpose of this is to bring glory to God and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. If you're a teacher or you're about knowledge of the word, this is something I think we really need to stop and think about as Baptists. We can get so caught up in knowing this word that we forget to actually apply this word. And we can know scripture and we can quote scripture and we can do all these sorts of things, and our mind can be a treasure trove of scriptural truth, but we keep that treasure trove closed, right? And we don't ever allow that word to speak through us to go into other people, for the ultimate goal of what this word says is our primary objective: to make disciples, to baptize those who don't know Jesus, and to teach those who do everything that he commanded them to do. Whatever it is, there is possible for you to use the gift that you have been given in some other way than to bring glory to God and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you're doing that, it's not a spiritual gift. If your spiritual gift is not making Jesus known, let's stop calling it a spiritual gift. It's either a spiritual gift, it's either not a spiritual gift, let me say that, it's either not a spiritual gift, or it's a gift you've decided to use for your own purposes, not for that which it was designed. It's like some of us have been given a fly swatter and we're trying to hammer a nail, right? We're taking a gift that God has given us and we're not using it for the main purpose that he has called us to, which is to make disciples. Leverage each gift that you have been given, each ability, each skill, whatever you want to call it. Ultimately, it's a spiritual gift. Leverage that for the ultimate purpose. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. And so as we think about how we can leverage our talents, our abilities, our spiritual gifts for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of making disciples, let's think about a few common gifts and how you might leverage those so you can try to get your mind around how exactly you might leverage your gifts for the sake of making disciples. Evangelism, that's a fairly easy one, right? If your gift is being able to boldly witness to people about Jesus Christ, that very quickly brings people into relationship with him, and you can see how that one works fairly easily, so it's why I started there. But let's think of something that's a little less obvious. What if giving is your spiritual gift? Giving is a spiritual gift talked about in Scripture. Those of you who have great means, you give those gifts. If you're just putting money in an offering plate, or you're just donating towards a particular fundraiser, or you're just seeing it in terms of dollars and cents, red and black, and you're not seeing it for what it really is, then you're missing the point, and it has ceased to be a spiritual gift, but more of just you got a lot of money and you want to share it. But if it is a spiritual gift, giving becomes, or it is realized to be a spiritual gift when you see that money that you put in the offering plate or those dollars and cents is being able to empower this church to do the ministry of God here in this community, our larger denomination, the Baptist world, missionaries that we send out, missionaries that we donate to that are part of our own body. You begin to see that spiritual gift helps go out and make disciples. You are, through the way that God has gifted you through money, the spiritual gift of giving, all of a sudden you are a part of the Great Commission of making disciples of everyone in the world. Maybe it's service. Maybe your act of maybe your spiritual gift is being able to serve other people, seeing when people are in need and going to them. Again, if you're doing it just to get a pat on the back, or just even if it's just to make those people feel good, right? That's not a spiritual gift, because the Red Cross can do that. Our government can do things like that. People who don't know Jesus can go to people just to make them feel better. But if you are going and serving them, not just for to love them, that's a good cause, right? Not just to love them, but to lead them to Christ, to show them an element of what Jesus looks like in your life, what a Jesus follower looks like, so that they might be drawn towards Jesus, then suddenly your gift of service has come into play when it comes to the Great Commission of bringing everyone in. Teaching, knowing knowledge about Scripture, You take the time to study Scripture, but then you take the time to teach it and apply it. Not only do you know Scripture and have it stored in your mind, but when you're around someone and you see that they have a need, you are able to speak. The Word of God is able to speak through you into their lives in such a way that they are drawn to God for the first time or drawn more closely to Him for the thousandth time. I know a lot of you in this church have the gift of hospitality. I know because I go to our potlucks and I eat your food, right? I know because you can do a really good job of making people feel welcome, of doing these little things behind the scenes that nobody notices, whether it's writing birthday cards or whatever it might be, just to be kind. Again, if you're just doing it to be kind, the world does a lot of things to be kind, but if you're doing it because you want to show the people the kindness of their Savior, Jesus Christ, then suddenly that small thing that you're doing has momentous, even eternal impact, because you are doing it to draw people to God, to make disciples of all nations. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. So use your gifts, the gifts that Jesus Christ has given you through His Holy Spirit, to make disciples. Last week we talked about trying to figure out what those gifts are. There's a lot of ways you can do that, and I won't talk about them all again because we talked about it last week, but you know, pray to God, to the Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom about the ways that He's gifted you. Turn to Scripture, the passages like 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 that speak about spiritual gifts, and see if you have some of those in your life. Talk to other people who are godly influences in your life to see if they might know something, see something in some way that you are gifted that you can apply, or trial and error. That's my favorite as your pastor, right? Just do stuff and see what happens, okay? Somebody asks you, hey, maybe you'll volunteer in this area. You don't know if you're gifted or not? Give it a try. If you're not, tell them 6 months down the road, I don't think this is for me. But in the meantime, I'm going to try, and maybe I'll find out that I'm gifted in this area. Again, try to do those things, right? Try to figure out exactly in what ways you're gifted. But this morning, I want you to think about, if I can figure out ways that I'm gifted, right? If I can figure out ways that the Holy Spirit has put something in me that I know is not necessarily of me, but something that I'm good at, even if it's just being kind to other people, whatever it might be, this morning I want you to begin thinking about how you might use those things, use your most obvious gift for the sake of the Great Commission. Today I want you to, if you take notes or if you don't, maybe start maybe somewhere at home on a piece of paper or an electronic device or something, write down this basic question. How can I use my gift of blank, whatever your gift is, to make disciples this week? How can I use my spiritual gift of to make disciples this week? Again, go seek God in prayer. Ask for opportunities to be given some insight into how you might do that. Talk to people that are close to you, that know your giftedness, and maybe they can help you see how you can apply the Great Commission into your life through your spiritual gifts. And then tonight or tomorrow morning in prayer, try to come up with some specific ways. I'm going to challenge you to come up with 3 specific ways that you can use your giftedness for the sake of the kingdom of God, particularly as it pertains to the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. Every gift goes in that direction. Every single gift ends here, right? If you want to look at the gifts as a big river system, this is basically the end of the road, right? This is where all the rivers empty into the ocean. It's right here in this area that we know as the Great Commission. You are a gifted disciple maker. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. Whatever your gift is, it ought to be leveraged for this purpose. So how can I use my gift to make disciples this week? And come up with 3 specific ways. And write them down on that same piece of paper. 3 specific ways that you can use your gift to make disciples. And then, here's my final challenge. Do, right? That's where we don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers also. Do one of those things. At least one. You can do all 3 if you are an overachiever. But at least do one of those things at some point this week and see how God works through you. See what it feels like to be a part of God's purpose and God's plan. And I want you to imagine for just a moment, even before we begin this process, even before you begin to write down or to pray or do any of those things, to imagine just for a moment how it will feel and how it has felt in your life in the past to know that you have, at least in some minor way, allowed God to make you a part of some greater purpose, to fulfill the purpose that God has placed in your life. I don't know about you, but when I sit at the end of a task, whatever that task might be, like last week I told you that I'm a horrible handyman, right? But the few times that I have tried to do that, when I sit at the end of the task and I see that everything's not broken and it's actually going to work, there is a sense of, hey, this worked. I was able to complete this task, right? There's a sense of fulfillment in that, especially if it's like, you know, my wife asked me to do something and I was actually able to accomplish it. There is the sense of, I fulfilled my purpose as a man. I fulfilled my purpose as a husband. Because a lot of the times in our world today, we're a people who don't know our purpose. We're a people who don't know what we're called towards. Even in the church, and maybe mostly, maybe the people I notice the most anyway, especially in the church. We seem to be wandering around knowing that we're called to be some part of something big and humongous and world-changing and eternity-affecting. And we can't get over the fact that we just don't seem to know how we apply, how we fit into that plan. How it all makes sense in us. How God wants to use us as part of that. This is why I'm talking about this. Not to make you feel guilty for what you haven't done. Not to make you feel like your gift is better or worse than someone else's. But to show you that you do have a purpose. That God has made you just the way that you are because he wants you to be a part of his plan to redeem the world, specifically when it comes to fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ, to make disciples. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. Imagine what it will feel like to sit at the end of this task. Psychologists tell us that one of the best ways to get a particular goal done is to see yourself, to try to vision yourself at the end of it, what it will be like to have accomplished it. And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to imagine what it will feel like to sit at the end of this task and know that you have been a part of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Even if it's in some small way, God used you to play a role in someone's life in bringing them to Christ or bringing them further into Christ. To be a part of the most amazing story that's ever been written, you get to have a chapter in it. You get to be a part of it. This is good news, people. This is the best news for those of us who already know Christ. This is what the good news looks like for us, is that it didn't stop when we get saved. No, we get to be a part of salvation from here until we ascend into heaven, and then we get to be a part of it for eternity. Can I get an amen on that fact, right? This is the best news that I can tell you this morning. You get to be a part of Jesus' plan to redeem the world, to bring people to him, to make disciples, and you are gifted to do it. The Holy Spirit has gifted you uniquely and extraordinarily to bring people to him and closer to him, those that already know him, to make disciples of all the entire world. He wouldn't call us to it if he didn't gift us for it. Jesus has gifted you. Yes, I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you or behind you or that person that you've always admired in this church. I'm talking about you in particular. Jesus has gifted you to be a disciple maker. What gift is it that he is using in you today? What gift is it that he wants you to write down? How can I use this to make disciples? And then what is it that he's calling you to do? One specific action. Narrow it down to three and then pick one of those three. One specific action you can do this week to make disciples through the way that Holy Spirit has gifted you. You are gifted to be a disciple maker. Don't you want to be a part of that vision? Don't you want to be a part of that calling? Don't you want to be a part of this plan that God has given us in some even small way? And stand at the end, and maybe one day you'll be able to sit in that pew and you'll watch a person that you know that you poured into through your spiritual gifts walk down this aisle and say, I want to know Jesus for the first time. Or you'll watch a person that you taught in a Sunday school class, whether it's a kid or it's an adult, surrender their lives to ministry or say, I want to go overseas to serve in mission. Or you'll watch, even if it's something, we always turn it into either preacher or missionary, but maybe something that somebody that you've ministered into or that you've poured your life into, you'll see them become a great husband or a great wife or a great son or a great daughter, or you'll watch them be a part of the Great Commission as well, and the way that you poured into their lives, they'll pour into someone else's life, and you'll get to see this cycle. And that's what changes the world. That's what brings our country back to Christ. That's what makes the difference as a people who are dedicated to the fact that God has gifted them to make disciples. You are gifted to make disciples. Whatever that gift is, whatever that calling looks like, it's part of your life. And I hope that you can figure out how that applies to you in the days to come. During our time of invitation, there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus and you want to be a part of something amazing, if you want to have purpose, if you want to have a meaning to your life, I would love to show you how. And it's by having a relationship with Jesus. And if you want to talk about that now or during after the service, that's fine. Either way, it's fine with me. You can come down during our invitation or you can find me afterwards. And for those of you who do know Christ, I encourage you to actually do this. I know a lot of times you hear stuff from your pastor, you say, oh, that's a nice little thing. But I encourage you to actually do this. Maybe you're not a guy who writes things down. That's fine. But spend some time in meditation thinking about, how am I gifted? What are some ways that I can apply this gift to the Great Commission? And then what is one way this week, one thing I can actually do in the way that I have been gifted to make disciples? If you need to pray about that or anything else, I'm here to do that with you this morning. And the altar is open during our time of invitation if you would like to go there. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. Bill and Lynn are going to lead us in invitation. You move in whatever way God is calling. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, I thank you for the chance to be a part. And God, I ask for forgiveness. And Lord, I come to you in repentance, knowing that there are times when even I know that the gifts that have come from you, I've applied in the wrong direction for the wrong purposes. God, I pray that for me, God, that you would show me how you can use my gifts, the gifts that you have given me, I should say, to make disciples of those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak that into every mind, every heart this morning that is in this building. God, show us how we might be a part of the calling that's meant for each one of us to make disciples through the way that we are gifted through your Holy Spirit. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.